following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccounts. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. How are you this morning? It's finally going to be a nice day out. It looks like I'm staring out my window here from my home office because that's where we are these Sundays. Now, we are doing the show live. And so if you do have questions today, feel free to give us a call, 800-370-1049. That's 800-370-1049. We are answering any of your questions that you might have as it relates to the markets, relates to this COVID-19 situation and how it's impacting your financial life. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the currently closed North Shore Mall and right above the currently closed Alto Forno restaurant on 41 Cross Street. And our office is currently closed as well up on the second floor at 41 Cross Street. But we are all operating from our homes very efficiently, actually, I might say, even though it's nice to be in a place where all of us in my team gather together. We've been able to structure this. This is week number four for us, working from home. About 3 years ago, when we moved into our new location, we decided to set up this thing called a business continuity plan. It was suggested to us, and you know, you thought, as a small business, do I really need this? It was basically a plan that said, well, if the business were to catch fire, could you continue to operate? Because people still need, in crisis situations or in any period of situation, they might still need access to their money. They want to know what's going on. They have questions about their accounts. Life happens, right? So about 3 years ago, we decided to set up this plan where we said, let's imagine the building catches fire and we have to race out of the office. And so what we did was we grabbed our phones, we grabbed our computers, and we all headed to my house. And we set up in a different room in the house. Each of us went to a different room or a different section of the house and set up as if we were working in the office. And it worked. It really worked. The way it was able to work was we bought these things called digital phones so that all we need to do is connect into wireless or into the internet. And so if you call our office in Peabody, you call the 978-531-8108 number. The phone will ring during regular business hours. And Jody will answer the phone from her house in Peabody. And she will then, if you wanted to talk to me, she'll put you on hold. And she'll hit the intercom button and it will ring in my office, my home office here in North Andover. And she'll say, so-and-so is on the phone and I will pick it up and I will talk to you. It's really that simple. It's worked out great. It's been an incredibly efficient system, despite the fact that we all want to see you and we all want to talk to our clients as well. The other thing that's been really cool that we've been able to do at Friedman Financial in light of this current situation is I think we've all mastered the Zoom technology that's out there. And I think it's interesting that on January 1st, there were 20 million people across the country or across the world that subscribed to Zoom, that used that service. On March 23rd, there were 200 million people, just 2.5 months later, 200 million people using Zoom. And now we think nothing of it to do Zoom calls. We hosted them. Maybe you did it for your Easter Sunday. We did it for Passover, for the Seders there. We've done it for client meetings. And once a week, we've been doing video town halls. Because one of the things that we've learned at Friedman Financial is that People want to know what's going on. They want to talk. They, rather than listen to the news, CNN, Fox, MSNBC, Bloomberg, wherever you get your information and news from, we all know that that news is meant to be very, very mass distributed, or broad based. And sometimes we can feel like, are they leaving me out? They're kind of talking about stuff that's larger than the scope of what's impacting me. And when you hear something that's talking about you, you either like it or you hate it. But when they seem to be forgetting about you, you say, oh, they're not even listening to us. And so what we've been doing once a week is we've been offering a video town hall for all of our clients, and I've extended it now to the listeners of this radio show. If you're interested in joining our call, we generally have it at on Thursdays at 4 p.m. It runs about a half hour to 40 minutes or so. You are welcome to be part of our video town hall. All you need to do is call my office, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or you can drop me an email. Drop it directly to me if you want. Mark, M-A-R-C, at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Mark, M-A-R-C, at Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. And we will get you added to the invite list so that you can get the password and you can join our call. It's been really interesting. We have over 100 plus screens that appear on the video call. Now, granted, don't worry, your face doesn't show up. Your name doesn't appear, nothing like that. We kind of block all of that stuff out. Just we keep a roster of who's on the call. And so the only faces that you'll see on your screen are mine and my business partner, Marion. And periodically, we'll ask other people from the office to share some perspectives with you. One of the things that happened this past Thursday, a lot of folks have been asking about this these stimulus checks that were coming out. And people are wondering, where is my stimulus check? Am I going to get one? Why didn't it land in my bank account this Wednesday? What happened? Because many people started to get their checks on Wednesday. My daughter, Mindy, was one of those people. She calls me up, Dad, my friend's got a check. Why didn't I? What happened? What's wrong? What? It's like, relax. Relax, folks. There's a lot of money that has to be distributed. And the money just, it's not like they just open up the gates and let it all get dumped in within an hour's time frame. It's going to take a while. There are some people that are going to get their checks quickly, others that will get them a little longer than now. Some might even take 10, 15, and 20 weeks to get that stimulus check, especially those who have never had direct deposit done in their bank accounts, especially from the IRS or for a Social Security check. If there's nothing that we've learned from this, it's as much as people have been really hesitant to be participants in technology, in allowing the financial markets to engage them properly and encrypt and with encryption to engage in financial transactions, this has been the time where you've said, where you've learned, if I don't have that kind of stuff set up, I'm at a disadvantage. And it's unfortunate. The government does not want to rely on the U.S. Postal Service to mail checks out to you. They prefer to do it all electronically. Look, if you're collecting your Social Security check, you know that now people get their Social Security checks direct deposited. There was a period of time when most people were getting their checks mailed to them. And then periodically we transitioned from going to mailed checks to direct deposited checks. And now when you apply for Social Security, you don't have a choice. You need to have it direct deposited. That's the way we have to, for most part. Some people don't have access to electronic technology and they have to get a mailed check. But that is, that's the wave. That's what's happening. Think about this. I believe that one of the things that's going to come from this COVID-19 crisis, probably something you haven't even thought about, is I think the days of check writing are over. If it's been your nature to write checks to people, I think you need to prepare for the likelihood that within the next 3 to 5 years, the checkbook will go the way of the encyclopedia. Now, why is that? Think of all the ways that we can pay people these days. We can do it efficiently. Yeah, there are some services where you have to pay a fee to transfer money. I'm not suggesting that one. I'm not suggesting, you know, when you're going to write a check to, I don't know, your local temple or your church or some other, the theater, and they want to charge you, you want to use your credit card electronically, and they say, well, there's a 3% service fee that you have to pay on top of that. No, I'm not talking about that way. I'm talking about the way people are using Venmo and PayPal and some of these others, and there will be others. There are going to be some great technologies that are going to emerge from this crisis that is going to make our lives easier. I want you to also think about how different our lives are going to be when we're back to whatever that new normal is. And think about how important is it to go into the office every day? How important is it to hop on a plane for a business meeting? How important is it to continue to have these fancy conferences and dinners and all of that stuff? Folks, I think it's pretty important, actually. I think it's critical in many industries, but I think there will be some industries that will say, you know, maybe we could do this differently, especially when we start to think about the cost of everything. Look, the most important cost for any business is personnel. There's no question about it. The cost of people is the largest expense. But one of the next largest expenses is the cost of rent and operations and overhead costs. And I think we're learning that, you know, we can do some of this stuff from home. As much as some people were resistant to it at first, we can do a lot of this stuff at home. But I'll tell you from my own personal experience, I work harder at home than I do when I go to the office. Because when I roll out of bed in the morning, I'll go down to my office and I start working. And it could be at 7 o'clock in the morning, even though my office might open up at 8:30. And I'll keep working through the day. When it's time for lunch, I'll run to the kitchen, I'll grab a sandwich or something, but my lunch is maybe 5 minutes or 10 minutes. When I'm at the office, I go out for lunch. We go out and meet people. Mary and I will be out for an hour to an hour and a half. We have social interaction time that we have at the office. But when we're here at our house, we're just working. And then do we realize what time it is, whether it's 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 o'clock? I think nothing of calling a client at 7 o'clock at night because they say, I'm home. It's okay. Give me a call. I think we work far more often at home, though I think our bosses might struggle with wondering, what the heck are you doing at home? I think it's just a different way of thinking how we work. Look, I work on Saturdays and Sundays now. Maybe you do too. Do you take the day off? I think we're good. That's this whole idea of work-life balance is far more difficult when you're working from home than it is when you're working from your office. When you're at your office, you're working. When you're at home, you can be home. But when work and home are the same thing, that can be a little challenging. It can be very challenging, actually. So today we've got a bunch of things to talk about. I want to bring you up to date on, I want to remind you about some of these things that are going on with the CARES Act. I want to remind you about some of the rules regarding retirement that rolled into the CARES Act and is now available to our listeners. I also want to share with you some market updates. I happen to have an interview with Ryan Dietrich, who is the senior market strategist over at LPL, and he shared a video with me that he said I could share with our listeners. It's about 2 minutes long. It offers up some perspective from LPL's research to say, here's where we think this is all going. Now, granted, this video was done, we taped it on Wednesday, so the market is up a little bit more, and it was before the jobs report that came out on Thursday, but it'll still give you a general sense. I have some more current market update stuff that I'd like to share with you. I want to talk to you a little bit about some of the scams, the COVID scams that are out there, so that you can protect yourselves and those that you love. I got a few other thoughts, and you know, when you do dollars and cents with me, it is just kind of like a random walk down whatever street I'm on, and then we head off in another direction. It's a lot of stuff. It's financial advice in a language you can understand, and it's also here for you to be able to answer your questions. So we are live in studio today, or in my office, but we're live. If you'd like to call in, you want to ask a question, here's the phone number, 800-370-1049. That's 800-370-1049. We're going to take a quick break. When we're back, we have lots more financial advice in a language you can understand. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 1049.
Because we were all at home, we had nowhere to go. We didn't spread the virus. We all...
Your official at workstation, North Shore 1049, WBOQ Gloucester.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Each week, I try to provide listeners with financial advice in a language you can understand. And much of my advice comes from real-life situations that happens in my office, Friedman Financial, each and every day. You see, at Friedman Financial, we help individuals and families create smart strategies for spending money in retirement. Our approach is committed to placing your interests first. And best of all, Friedman Financial is independent, and we're a fee-based financial planning and investment management firm. We're absolutely committed to helping you get your financial house in order. When you're ready to get serious about your financial planning needs, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or on the web at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Stay home. Stay home.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. You're coming to you live from my home office right here in North Andover, Massachusetts. We are all staying home, and I hope you're staying home and following the world's orders right now to really stay at home. Let's get through this crisis. It looks like we're doing a pretty darn good job. Yes, there are some lives that have been lost, some people that have been ill. But hey, I want to give a shout out to somebody that I think about every day, and you actually may know her. I don't know if you know Karen Nesembeni. If you've been to the North Shore Music Theater, you know Karen. She's the one that steps out on the stage most days, and she greets you, and she tells you about the new season that's coming. Karen is the bright light. There are many bright lights, but she is one of those bright lights at the music theater. And in every community that you visit, she seems to be there all the time. Well, Karen, if you didn't know, has had this virus, as had her husband, Steve. Karen's husband, Steve, passed away a week or two ago. But Karen has been sick for almost 31 days now in the hospital. And we've been tracking this very closely because we think about her a lot, and I know many of you know her. But news came from Karen's sister yesterday that the respirator was removed and she is breathing on her own. A rarity, because all we hear about is those that are on, the longer you're on a respirator, the greater likelihood you're not going to make it. But Karen is a fighter, and I'm so proud of her, and I'm so proud of all the prayers and all of the thoughts that have been going out to her and everyone else. I can't wait to see her back at the theater. And if you know her, you would absolutely love Karen, and I can't wait to see her back in Beverly. So best wishes to her and everybody else. I know we all find folks that we have lost or that we care about that have this illness, and we're thinking of them. It is a very tough and difficult time. But we are all making it through. We are all doing our part. And this is a personal responsibility that we all have to take. And it's the responsibility of us as parents to make sure that our children are following those guidelines. And also it's our responsibility as adults to make sure that our parents are following these guidelines. It's interesting that those that seem to be creating a bit of hysteria, it doesn't matter where you are, whether you're in Maine or Florida or California or Kansas, it seems as if those that are the parents right now seem to be the ones that are being, if you will, the most responsible. Though I don't want to say that to everybody, because we all can be face ourselves with some challenges. But it's the kids that are saying, well, you know, let me test this. You know, maybe we'll just go gather and make a circle in our cars and talk to each other or meet out at a park. Or I was talking to some clients of ours, actually, down in Florida. And I was saying, well, how are you dealing with, this pandemic? What's going on? Are you staying safe? Are you staying home? They said, yeah. You know, it's tough. They said, you know, we don't meet at the clubhouse anymore. We don't, you know, go out with big groups of people. We just have a couple couples over for dinner, and that's about it. And I'm thinking, a couple couples over? You're supposed to just be staying home. And, you know, I just listened to this, and it's really interesting how each person is interpreting what the rules are. You saw what the walking looked like on the beach up in Jacksonville this past week, where the governor said that the beaches could be open. There are certain states that are starting to open up or think about opening up their states, their counties, their regions. Folks, we just have to be willing to, we have to live within the guidelines. We have to do what we believe is best. We also have to follow some of the rules. And I think if we continue to do that, we are going to be okay. We are, I mean, there's going to be still people that will get sick. There will be people that will die. And yes, we need to continue to do testing and build more testing and have other protocols in place that will create a new normal. But I want you to remember this. I remember back when we had 9/11 and we learned that we all talked about there's going to be a new normal. And that new normal has become so something that we don't even think about anymore. A lot of the new normal happened around the airports, but now we see it in a lot of places. Before 9/11, how often did you go to a sporting event where you had to empty out your pockets and go through a metal detector? How often when you went to an airport could you not bring a bottle of water or just walk through with a cigarette lighter, not that we smoke cigarettes that much, with a lighter? You can't do that anymore. Before that, we had to before 9/11, we didn't have to remove our shoes or our jackets to go through a metal detector. And remember, back then when we went through the detector, it was just that rectangular box that you just walk right through, right? Now you have to stand out to your sides, your arms above your head. Let that little worry thing run around you so that they can take a little x-ray of all that you are to make sure that your pockets are truly empty. That's become the new normal. And we think nothing of it now. I mean, it is what it is. Now with COVID-19, now with this virus, there are going to be some new normals that will come into play, but they won't be that oppressive that we can't continue on with our lives. It's just going to be a little different. I don't know what those will ultimately be. We will soon find out. Yeah, they'll feel like inconveniences for a while, but it'll just be normal. And it's all designed to keep us and those around us safe. But many of us are thinking about, how does all of this impact me? And many folks I know that listen to this show are investors. They have much of their financial future locked in or invested in, I should say, in stocks and bonds and mutual funds. They connect up with a financial planner or they try to do their own financial planning on their own. And they look for sources. They look for information that can provide some guidance and understanding. And so one of the things that I wanted to share with you is a video that comes from LPL Financial. They posted it on Wednesday from Ryan Dietrich. Ryan is a senior market strategist from LPL. And he offers a perspective. He actually sends this to us once a week. And so this video that I'm going to share with you in a minute is, he did it on Wednesday. So this was before the new jobless numbers that came out. And we're now over at 22 million people in America who are unemployed. I mean, 22 million people is a large number. We average something that is far, far less than that. I mean, it's under a million, usually under half a million is the number of people that can be unemployed sometimes. So we have to put everything into perspective here. This is serious stuff. But we have to be ready for it. And we have to be optimistic too, because as bad as everything looks out there, there is tremendous optimism in what will be and how we will return. So I'm going to put it over to Jay, who's my producer, and say, Jay, hey, would you mind running the video? But the audio part of this from Ryan Dietrich. This is Ryan Dietrich from LPL Financial.
The economic data keeps getting worse, yet the stock market is going higher. Welcome to the latest LPL Street View. Let's put things in perspective. What we are seeing is truly historic on the economic side of things, but also the reaction in the stock market. Just today, we saw retail sales numbers come out that were the worst month-over-month retail sales numbers in history, down almost 9%, significantly worse than even the depths of the financial crisis. Consumer confidence is crashing. Manufacturing numbers are crashing. There are some economists that are saying GDP in the second quarter could be down as much between 40 and 60%. The numbers that we are going to see this quarter likely are going to be the worst that we've ever seen in our lifetime. Look at the stock market, though. The last 15 days, the S&P 500 has gained 27%. That's an unbelievable bounce and the largest 15-day gain since 1933. Don't forget, though, we had the fastest bear market and the fastest 30% correction in history until the March 23rd lows and then this extremely vicious bounce to the upside. What does it all mean? The one thing we want to continue to stress at LPL Research is stocks tend to lead the economy, whether it be on the way down or on the way up. As terrible as the headlines are, 2 million cases of COVID-19 around the world, the economic data, 17 million people filing for unemployment the last 3 weeks, just all-time records, devastating. The stock market is forward-looking. It's saying potentially better times are ahead thanks to the massive fiscal policy that we've seen and the massive monetary policy that we've seen and the hope that we can somehow contain this virus. So all in all, the fact the stocks are leading amongst those negative headlines is something that we think is normal. You tend to see stocks do well. They bottom about 5 months before a recession is over historically. So we're carving out a bottom. We're nowhere near, you know, out of the woods. But there is some reasons for optimism the rest of 2020. Thanks for being here this week.
Thanks, Ryan. I really appreciate that. Bringing people up to date and offering another perspective on what's going on. Yeah, stocks and the markets are leading indicators. And right now, just as the markets were leading indicators on the way down, they're leading indicators on the way up. Yeah, we had the fastest, what's called bear market in the history of the markets, really. I mean, we dropped 35, 37% in a matter of weeks, days, really. And a couple weeks ago, I was on the radio and I suggested to you that I think that no matter where we are in this process, I think that we will likely recover about 50% of what we've lost in the market within the next 3 months. And I was wrong. I was wrong because we've already recovered 50% of what we've lost in about 3 weeks. It's really remarkable, folks. It's remarkable that there is such optimism from an economic perspective of what we will look like in the future that people are continuing to rally around our economy. They're rallying around the American spirit. They're rallying around American ingenuity. They're rallying around our frontline workers. Terms that, you know, frontline workers, do we ever think we'd be talking about frontline workers? And those frontline workers being our doctors and our nurses and the phlebotomists and the anesthesiologists and frankly, the people that are cleaning up after everybody in the hospital. There's the dietitians and the nutritionists and everybody else that's in there trying to keep everybody safe. There's also our grocery store workers, anybody that's working in a retail establishment, whether you're working in a restaurant, a grocery store, a convenience store, a gas station, whatever it might be. Everybody, those people, they are the ones that are putting themselves most at risk. Yet there is tremendous optimism that we as a country will move forward. I believe that. The stock market believes it. Our government believes it. I know there are some people out there, there are many people actually, that believe that our government isn't doing the best they can. You know, my opinion is how do we know? How do we really know? I think they are working as hard as they can and doing the best they can. There might have been, you know, priorities that some people might think we need to focus on this or that. Folks, with all of that's going on, imagine how difficult it must be to be in the seat of any of these people that are involved in our government trying to make decisions on what's best for this country and having to not only make those decisions, but having to do it with the pressure of a daily press conference, daily inundations from people asking and fact-checking and doing everything that they can. And yes, you want to get all this information right, but you also want to get information out to the people. The problem is now with social media. Every word that we say, I mean, look, I'm sure that there's several things that I've said on this radio today that perhaps I misspoke. I used them in the wrong tense. I used the wrong word. That I put too much inflection in one sentence over another. There's all sorts of ways that we can misinterpret, but I don't think anybody should believe that there isn't good intent coming from anybody, no matter what walk of life they're coming from, whether it's in the government, in our workforce, in our healthcare providers, in anybody that's out there, even the press. I'd like to hope that there's good intent because that's what the American spirit is all about. There's plenty of time for debate. There's plenty of time for arguments, but we need to push forward. There will be time for us to look back and argue whether we handled things the right way or the wrong way. I mean, think about this. We're in a situation right now where a few weeks ago, people were saying to our president, why did you close down the borders, whether it was in China or in Europe? That was there was all sorts of terms that were used to describe being early to do that. It turns out that might have been the smartest thing to do. Can we prove whether it was or not? It feels like it was, but who knows? So then the president decides to start closing down and asking governors to start closing down their own cities and towns and counties. And we have these stay-at-home orders where over 90% of Americans are now with stay-at-home orders. And now, and because we had heard that the numbers on what this could look like, there was supposed to be, according to the CDC on March 13th, there was supposed to be 160 to 215 million people in America could be infected. That's what the CDC came out with on March 13th. And here we are on April 19th. That would have been 50% of the population if they were right. When they started building the modeling, it was suggested that we were going to need somewhere between 2.4 million and 21 million hospital beds. And around this country, we only had 925,000, not 925. Then on the 31st of March, the White House task force put together some modeling where they said there could be somewhere between 1.5 and 2.2 million deaths in this country. And then it got ramped back. And they say, but on a best case, if we mitigate, if we do our part, if every American steps up and takes responsibility for their own actions, we could have a best case scenario of where we'd have between 100,000 and 240,000 deaths. A dramatic, dramatic loss. And mitigation has certainly slowed the infection rate. We now have close to 40,000 deaths in America. We've hit what we believe could be the peak, and we're starting to move forward. There are efforts to try to open this economy, and they will open in different phases in different areas in this country. Because what you and I listen to, and folks that are listening to this show, you know that we think the world looks just like what it looks like for us, and it doesn't, folks. It's a lot more spread out in other parts of the country. Other places aren't getting infected as much. And there is a strategy to try to roll out what we're doing here in a way that allows us to get back to work. There are some people that say we shut down the world too fast. And there's another side now that says, what's the rush to open? What's the right thing to do? I think it's a delicate balance, and we will be careful. And we will all try to do our best to try to mitigate this through. But I think come the fall, we will be back to a reasonably new normal, something that's going to be different from what we've ever experienced before, but something that will allow us to gather. We can interact with each other, have social experiences, and really make the most of everything that we want to do again. I want to take a quick break. When we get back, I've got some more updates on this market volatility dashboard. There's a daily dashboard that LPL provides to us that I want to go over there. I also want to talk about some of the scams that we're starting to see, because I think this is real important. You got to be sure that you're protecting yourself. And lastly, I want to make a couple of reminders for those that are in retirement or having to collect money from their taking required minimum distributions from their IRAs, some new rules that have come up with the CARES Act. All right, I'm going to take a quick break. When we're back, I'll have more. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
You gotta play the game, boy. You gotta learn to play it right. You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run.
Are you facing critical decisions that could impact your retirement income? Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial, and since 1968, we've been providing comprehensive financial planning and investment advice to individuals residing on the North Shore and throughout the Merrimack Valley. We can help you plan for the retirement of your dreams. Call me today at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit us at friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Hello from the inside. It's just me and myself and I.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, where we've been providing financial planning and investment management advice to individuals and families all around the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the southern New Hampshire area since 1968. No, not me. I was two back then. My father started our firm. I joined the firm in 1991, so I've been doing this for close to 30 years. Hard to believe. I guess it's 29 years, I guess I've been doing it, but 30 years is coming up next. And we've been doing this a long time. A lot of families, we've been through a lot of hills and valleys, and this is one of those valleys that we would have never expected, but these are valleys that we get through as well, because there are hills that are a-coming. We've seen it happen before, we've lived through it, and we've been trying to provide advice to our clients, the 450 households that we serve all throughout the community. We try to take that advice and transition it out to our listeners here on Dollars and Cents. We try to use that information so that you can feel empowered, that perhaps someone is talking to you, and that you're getting one or two nuggets of information today that say, hey, this applies to me, or this is appropriate, or this is something that gives me something to think about for the rest of the day until perhaps next Sunday, because it looks like we're going to be back in the house again for this week too, and probably the next couple. We are working out of our homes. We are live in studio, and if you do have a question, feel free to give us a call, 800-370-1049. That's 800-370-1049. I do want to remind our listeners that Friedman Financial has been putting out a newsletter to individuals and families and businesses and whatnot. Believe it or not, we started doing it March of 2009 when we were in a bottom, I mean, a real low part in the market. Remember, 2008 and 2009, the market dropped almost 45%. 45%. Would you believe that through this virus that we've had, through this coronavirus, the market hasn't dropped anywhere near that? The lowest it's dropped, in fact, is 35%, 35, 37, depending upon what index you want to look at. But it's already made back almost 50% of what it's lost in 2 or 3 weeks. I want to remind you that we put out a newsletter every Friday. It's called Planning Pointers. If you'd like to get this newsletter and it lands in your inbox every Friday at 10:30, go to our website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. You go to the bottom of any page on the website, you put in your name, your email address, and you're signed up. It's really that simple. If you do have a question, if you have comments, you want to schedule some time to meet with us now virtually, we are able to do virtual meetings and meet with people. We're doing that quite regularly, actually. We're holding review meetings with our clients, and of course, we're answering questions that they have on a regular basis. I also want to invite everybody who's listening to this show the opportunity to participate in our video town hall. Every Thursday now for the past few weeks at 4 o'clock, we do a Zoom call, a video town hall. Now, don't worry, your face isn't on the screen, so no one sees who's looking in. We've got all of the videos blocked out. And we have over 100 people that have been participating in these video calls, or actually in listen-only mode, to tell you the truth. And my business partner, Marion, and I offer up some financial advice in a language you can understand that's based upon what we're seeing, what's been going on, some research that we've been doing, because frankly, all week long, we are getting inundated with every financial institution sending us their thoughts, their perspectives, and we're trying to cull all of that information down to make it reflective of what's appropriate for our clients. I mean, we'll hear from JP Morgan and Goldman Sachs and Fidelity and Vanguard and MFS and all of the other fund companies, financial institutions that are out there. And we have the opportunity, because we are independent, because we are fiduciaries, because we don't have any responsibility of representing any one company, we get all of the information. We sort through it and we try to put together what we believe is the best of the best, that's the most rational in thinking, to help you make informed decisions. If you'd like to be part of our video town hall, you need to call the office, because the only way for you to get in as a listener, unless you're a client, is to get a private invitation. And I want to send a private invitation to you as a listener. You got to call the office, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or if you want to drop me an email, feel free to do that. It's Mark, M-A-R-C, at friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. And I will send you the link to our Zoom call as well as the password so that you have the access to it. And you can join the more than 100 people that have been participating every Thursday at 4 o'clock. So I wanted to bring you up to date with a daily market update that comes from LPL, that it's basically five signals that we are continuing to watch and monitor that give us the sense that we're moving forward. And every week, the reflections of these signals change. And I wanted to bring you up to date as to, as of Friday, what those signals were. So the first signal that's here says, how much confidence do we have in the timing of a peak in COVID-19 cases? This is one of those broad-based measures that's being looked at by economists, by scientists, and everybody. How much confidence is there that we are approaching a peak in COVID-19 cases? And this week, the message was, we're almost there. Remember, this thing started with, I have no idea, unknown, we'll wait to see, but we are almost there. This is a positive sign. Indication number two, what is the probability and the severity of a U.S. recession? We're there, folks. We're already there. And I think we called that a few weeks ago. I think it was rather obvious that we go into a recession. The bigger question will be, how quickly will we come out of a recession? And remember, if you heard Ryan Dietrich's comments in the last segment, usually the stock market is a leading indicator of us coming out of a recession. And the stock market usually hits a new high 5 months prior to us coming out of the recession. So this could be pretty quick. Like we've said, the market has dropped rather dramatically, but it's likely to accelerate even faster when there's confidence that we are going to get out of this. So have the markets priced in a U.S. recession? We think we're almost there. That base, another way to say that is, do we think we've hit a market low? I don't know. But I think indications suggest to say to us that we're just about there. And I think we've tested those lows. Look, we went down 35%. Markets have come back almost 50% from what they've dropped. And right now, I think in the next week or two that follow, we're going to wobble around this number for a bit. Because we are watching the numbers. The next 14 days are critical. Will we start to see a drop-off in cases, a dramatic drop-off in cases? Will it be regional? Will it be national? Will we be able to focus our attentions in one place or another? Now, one of the things that we know for certain, as we've learned through the news, is that the drop-off in deaths are less likely to fall off as fast as the number of cases that we're seeing. Unfortunately, if you've ever been with somebody who's passed away, even when we realize that the end is near, we realize that we as human beings can survive for a long time without much food, without many resources. And it takes a little bit longer. I know it's a morbid thing to talk about, but that's going to be the number that will be a follow-on number. We have to look at cases right now. How many more new people are going to the hospital? Is that slowing down? The death case is going to be very real. It's going to be significant. I don't think it's going to be in that 100,000 to 200,000 number that Dr. Bricks and Dr. Fauci had suggested. I think we're going to fall under that. And I think they do too. I think they're feeling more comfortable about it. But it's still going to be a significant number here in the United States. Number four, how many sellers are left? What's the sentiment and technical analysis around the sellers that exist? Think about this. I think there was an enormous burst of sellers just a few weeks ago, people that wanted to get out. How many sellers are really left? Because remember, for the stock market to go down, there need to be more sellers than there are buyers. If the sellers have sold and there's a lot of people with cash and a lot of pent-up demand and potentially people who have started to receive stimulus checks, payment protection loans for their businesses. We have some money that has been pushed into this system. We have the support of the government behind us so that when markets feel, when that person, when you as a, or a business feel comfortable about investing, you're ready to go and you have some cash, even though you might not have had it before. So I believe there are far more buyers than there are sellers. And that is a very, very positive step. Lastly, what kind of policy responses, and have the policy responses been sufficient to restore confidence in America? Well, I think we're almost there. I think we've heard about the stimulus checks that are coming, though many of you have not yet received your stimulus checks, though you're due them. We've heard about the payment protection program and the loans that businesses have requested to keep them running and operating and being able to pay their employees. But we've heard both that the government has run out of money and we need another $250 billion to fulfill all of the loan requests. But also many people have filled out applications over the past 2 weeks and they thought, where's my money? And they wonder why it's not in the bank. I think that stuff's coming. I think we have to be a little patient. We're dealing with 330 million people in America, folks. I know I have a difficult time trying to figure out what to have for dinner and how we will order it and pick it all up or make it at home, all of those decisions. There are people that are being asked to make decisions for 330 million different stories. It's not easy. You can set a program in place. There will be those that will fall through the cracks for sure. There will be those that will get money faster than others. But there will be more that will get it over time. We just need to be a little patient. So those are my four signals on our market volatility dashboard. Do we have confidence that we're approaching a peak in the COVID-19 cases? Almost there, I think. Is there a visibility? Do we have visibility and probability into the severity of our U.S. recession? I think we know we're here already. Have the markets priced in the recession? I think we're just about there. I think we're wobbling around right now, but I think we're just about there. Are there any sellers remaining so that there are more sellers than there are buyers? I think we're almost there too. I think there are far more buyers than there are sellers. And has the policy response been sufficient to restore confidence? I think we are already there as well. So a lot of good news, despite all the bad news that we're hearing. We have stuff to be proud of, and we are going to move forward, but we have to take a break as well. When we get back, I want to offer up some thoughts to you to ask you how bad is it really? And is this what you would have imagined life would be like if we were told that a global pandemic was coming? My name is Mark Friedman. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial, and we'll be right back.
You could blend the classic strategies of investing with a contemporary approach to financial planning. That's what Friedman Financial can do for you. Wherever you are along your financial journey, Friedman Financial has the skills, technology, and experience to help you make smart financial decisions. Their team of certified financial planners will deliver an independent, objective, personalized plan for you. Friedman Financial. Financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Shut it down, lock your doors. It's cancel culture, getting bored. Nothing left for us to do but sit at home and watch the news. We didn't spread the virus, cause we were all at home. We had nowhere to go. Spread the virus.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, currently from my home, but usually across the street from the currently closed North Shore Mall and right above the currently closed restaurant Alto Forno on the currently very empty street, 41 Cross Street. Very few cars out there these days. But today seems like one of those beautiful days where it just might be nice to just get out and go for a ride, roll down the windows, enjoy the fresh air, get out there, maybe drive along the seacoast, go visit. I mean, you want to drive from Gloucester down to Salem and drive that seacoast road. It's actually quite nice and you won't even hit that much traffic. I mean, get out there and see what we have to offer here, because, you know, the world is going to open soon. America is going to open. Massachusetts, North Shore is going to open soon. And maybe you can find some little hidden getaways that you'll want to try to go back and visit again. Hey, I want to give a shout out to the North Shore Music Theater. I don't know if you've heard, they have made the bold decision to reshuffle their music season for 2020. It's now going to be the 2020-ish season. The first three musicals that they had lined up, they are going to reshuffle the deck a little bit and push those to January, February, and March of 2021. The two shows that they, the two musicals that they will have will be Little Shop of Horrors and Kinky Boots that will be in the fall. And then, of course, they'll close up with Christmas Carol towards the end of the year. Bill Haney has put a note out, I think, over the weekend that subscribers will be able to get to return their tickets and have new tickets issued. They are going to be as accommodating as they possibly can for everybody. But remember, the box office right now is not open at the music theater. No one's working there. So just use this as a point of reference. More information will follow. But the one of the gems that we have in the North Shore area is the North Shore Music Theater. I'm a proud supporter of it, both as a subscriber and as a corporate member. We run the Broadway Club. We're the sponsor of the Broadway Club there. And we truly enjoy everything that goes on there. So congratulations to them making that bold decision. It's tough. We're all having to adapt and adjust in light of this current environment. So I want you to think about this. I want you to imagine a world where you were told when things were going really well that we would be faced with this global pandemic. It would mean that the world would essentially need to shut down. 96% of people in America would be told to stay at home. Stay at home. They'd be limited to leaving their homes for groceries, for medical supplies and other essentials. When they left their homes, they'd have to wear masks, remain socially distant from any human being, including their parents and their family that didn't live in their home. They need to wash their hands and sanitize all that they touched and all that they purchased. And they were told that they would have to adapt to this in almost 3 weeks. And in the midst of all of this crisis, 22 million people would find themselves unemployed. Air travel would essentially be suspended. You couldn't travel to any foreign country at all. You'd be here in America, but even when you wanted to travel domestically, you would feel very uncomfortable in doing so, and you wouldn't want to. Vacations would be canceled. Disney World would be closed. You couldn't eat out at a restaurant. You couldn't go to a sporting event. There'd be no theater, no picnics, no parties. There'd be no weddings, no funerals, no graduations, and no visits to see loved ones. Hospitals would be overwhelmed. What would the market do if that were the case? How bad would things be? What would the economy look like? Gosh, if you asked someone that question, not knowing where we are today, I think people would wonder whether the economy could even operate, whether there would be a stock market. Would there be value to anything that we had invested in? And what's really interesting today is as of Friday's close, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 15%, and the S&P 500 is down 10% from its high. 10 and 15%. Those are numbers that are supposed to happen every couple of years. We're not talking about 40 or 50 or 70 or 80% where you'd think that's what it would have to be like if everything was closed, if we couldn't even leave our homes. What we've seen today has been the power of human spirit, the power of human ingenuity. We've seen caring and creativity and optimism. We've seen our country step up to support us. Though there will be differences in discourse about whether it was the right way to handle it, whether it was the most eloquent way to present it. We are a strong nation, and we will recover from this. In fact, the signs of hope, the light at the end of the tunnel, is now in front of us. I know it's difficult for many to see. Look, if you're a hospital worker, you don't see that light at the end of the tunnel at all. I get it. But from a bigger picture, when we step back several layers and we look at this on a grand scale, things are getting better. We are seeing progress. And I'm optimistic, and I hope you're optimistic, and I hope with each and every Sunday that we visit that you will feel more and more hopeful about what our future is. But when we start to get through periods like this, there's something that pops up called scams. And the COVID-19 scams that are out there right now, especially where people are wondering, where's my refund check? Where's my rebate check? Where's my payment protection program loan? There's a lot of people that are looking to take advantage of you. And so I wanted to bring you up to date on some of the scams that are out there. I want you to watch for emails claiming to be from the Center for Disease Control, the CDC, or experts claiming to have inside information on the virus. As it stands today, there are no vaccines, no potions, no lozenges, and no prescriptions available online or in store to treat or cure COVID-19. So any types of emails that are asking you that for $19.95, they'll send you a 30-day packet so you can protect yourself from this disease, don't believe it. Don't fall for it. The other thing I want you to do is I want you to do your homework prior to donating to charities or crowdfunding sites. You need to confirm the validity of the organizations as whether they're, as fraudsters are now advertising fake charities. Do not allow anyone to rush you into a donation, particularly those who are asking for cash, for gift cards, or wiring funds. Don't click on the links or open attachments for sources you don't know. Many of us are getting text messages that come that said, we can find money for you fast, but we have the link to get your payroll protection loan. These are coming from cyber criminals, and they're using COVID-19 headlines as a tactic to spread viruses and steal information. Please don't provide your personal information, payment information, or sensitive workplace information, such as because it's the wrong thing to do. You don't want to do this. One of the things that you've seen if you're on Facebook lately is all these surveys. You know, what's your favorite color? Let us know a little bit more about you. What's your favorite color? What high school did you go to? What was the make of your first car? And a lot of us think those are kind of fun surveys to do. But you have to ask yourself, who started these surveys? And a lot of these surveys are from cyber criminals. You don't realize it because they look so friendly. And we're posting answers to information that are generally the answers to those secret or private questions that are asked when you start to do credit checks. Think about this. When you go to apply for a new credit card, or you want to apply for a mortgage, they say, we're going to do a credit check, and they send you some questions. Well, what are some of those questions that they're asking you? What was the make and model of your first car? What's the address of your home? Where did you live 10 years ago? What high school did you attend? What was the name of your mascot in high school? Well, there's a lot of folks that are putting up pictures from their high school graduation. This is one of the things that's really driving me crazy. It's driving my kids crazy, too. My son and my daughter are both graduating. One will graduate from high school this year. One will graduate from college. And there's this thing on Facebook, and I don't understand who thought this was a good idea, which they said, post your picture from high school, from your yearbook, to support those who are graduating from high school. And my kids are like, why? So we can feel even worse? I mean, why don't you just post the picture of you with your cap and gown from high school? Someone had posted this suggestion on there that said, posting your picture from high school for kids who won't get the experience of graduating is like posting a picture of your house for the homeless population. Think about that. What we post on Facebook, I think we need to be more thoughtful on what we're posting on social media and say, is this for the best interest of me, or is this in the best interest of the population for which I'm sharing it with? A couple other COVID scams. If it sounds too good to be true, it likely is. And be mindful of scammers using government aid packages for criminal gains. Lawmakers have announced plans to send Americans checks to assist with the financial burden of the virus, with details in discussion. The government will not request payment, nor will anyone reach out requesting personally sensitive health or financial information in exchange for financial support. That's the information you need, and that's about all the time we have for today. But we will be back again next Friday, probably from my house again from the home office, with more financial advice in a language you can understand. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risk, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity sub-accounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.